Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Orange Tapes. I'm your host, Nicole J, and I started this podcast because I saw the need to create a safe space for healthier and deeper conversations about faith, culture, and life. So if you're anything like me and you're tired of shallow combos and you want something real and relatable, then The Orange Tapes is the podcast for you.
In this episode, I invited a very dear guest. His name is Lord Lee, and we talked about the good, the bad, and the influencers, how social media shapes your faith and discernment. This was a very fire episode. Y'all, Lord Lee did not come to play. I am telling you the truth. No, that's a disclaimer.
Before we peel back this topic, don't forget to follow, subscribe, rate this podcast, and leave a review. With that being said, let the OT begin.
Episode, I have a very special guest.
Oh boy.
Wow. We have the greatest teacher on earth.
I think I'll accept that one.
Yeah.
Not on earth. But.
Yeah. We have my brother, Lord Lee.
What's going on, folks?
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the invite.
Honestly, it's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Honestly. Yeah, legit. Yeah. I've known Lord Lee for years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know, like, when do we even...
Temple University.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along there.
Yeah, and I feel like over the years, I've seen, like, literally Lord Lee grow in his faith to be the man that he is now.
First of all, I can't see because I'm living it, so, but thank you for that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been an honor just seeing you grow over the past few years.
Thank you.
When I was thinking about this topic, like legit, I was like, I don't think there's anyone else that I would rather have. I said this before on another episode, but I actually mean when I say these things, but there's no one else that I would actually want to feature on this episode with me. And y'all, at the end of the episode, you're already going to know why I'm saying the things I'm saying.
I hope so.
But legit, it's a blessing to have Lord Lee on the pod. So welcome. So today we are going to be talking about something very prevalent in today's society. Today's topic is the good, the bad, and the influencers, social media's impact on shaping our faith and discernment.
Yeah.
So before we segue into the topic, Lord Lee, I wanted you to just introduce yourself, let the people know who you are, what you do, and... why this topic is something that you're willing to share your thoughts on.
Ooh, hello everybody. My name is Lord Lee. Lord Lee on Instagram. I don't really use Instagram because it's not my favorite. my background, I'm just, honestly, I know you did a great job of hyping me up. but I'm just genuinely, in my personal opinion, and God's my witness, I'm just another believer, Christian, who... God uses along the way. And I'm just me. And I guess, as you said, which I don't see, God, I guess over the years has elevated, what if you want to call it influence, grace, whatever, to be who I am. So that's me. What do? I'm in IT like every other African in the DMV. There's nothing more to that.
But you're there legitly, though.
I'm there legitly. Yeah, I do what I do very well by the grace of God. So, and then you said something else.
What drew you to this topic? Like, are you excited to talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I told you offline, there's some personal, more recently, more personal connections to the topic. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads along the way. But I think for me personally, as someone who I'm a firm believer in the truth of God's word, maybe it's my upbringing, whatever the case may be, but or just God crafted me to be this way. Mm. I really get agitated when I don't see things that aren't biblical. Mm. And it agitates my soul. And I'm one of those people, like, I don't care who you are, like, and that's a good thing and a bad thing I'm about to say, but... Mm-hmm. One thing I'm working on, I guess, is that I don't care who you are, if you're a pastor or if you're an everyday Christian, if you're wrong about something, I'm probably going to tell you you're wrong. Most of the time in a diplomatic way. Mm-hmm. Other times, if I see it, depending on who you are, respectfully, I'm just going to totally disagree. But that's who I am. Yeah. And that's a little background to why I'm here, I guess.
That's amazing. Yeah. Honestly, you've been saying that it reminds me of the character of Jesus. Like when you really study who Jesus is in the Bible, facts, you would realize like no matter where he was, how he, it didn't matter who he was talking to. He would literally just say what's on his mind. And I just feel like that's a character of Jesus. So you said something about your upbringing and how that kind of shaped that perspective that you have about like biblical literacy. Mm-hmm. Do you mind talking about that?
Sure. That is interesting. So I come from a background. My father, I'm Nigerian. My father in particular, he was the first one, I guess you can, now expressing it, he was the first one in my bloodline to follow Christ. Mm. And he got my father, my grandfather saved, who was, he was a wizard, basically. He was a witch doctor at the time, him and my grandmother. And he was a polygamist at the time, my grandfather. And ultimately, my dad got my grandfather saved at 19 years old. Mm. That's a whole nother long story. I know we have an hour, so I'm not going to go into it. But
we could do part two. I don't mind.
Well, as the spirit leads you. Right. But my father got my grandfather saved. He broke, or he, what's the proper word? He kind of denied the power of witchcraft blatantly and openly, and seemingly overpowered it through Jesus at the time, being a new believer. That led my grandfather to burn his witchcraft, all his books, all the stuff in the village. And then my grandfather ended up opening up the first church in my village. And now I'm here. So, but to that point, my dad has always been, he's a teacher by, you know, people call him pastor in New Jersey, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But he's a teacher by nature. So I've always, and he's always wanted or always pushed me to read growing up. Like I was, read your book, read your summer book. Like it'll be summertime, no schoolwork to do. Go to the library, get books, and he'll call me at work. Did you read your book? And I'm just like, let me be a kid. Like there's no aspirations in my life right now besides being a kid. But ultimately, that's God's design, you know, planting the seeds for the future. Right. So I've always been someone who reads, and I'd like to teach it back. I want to see you understand what you're reading and then talk about it type of thing. So when I see wrong teaching or a wrong interpretation of scripture, it agitates me because it's like God's word is very direct and contextual.
Yeah.
So a lot of times our generation in the church of 2025 in Western culture, it's a lot of reading in yourself to the scripture and not reading the scripture into your life. That's as good. Far as what it's, the goal of it is. So when when I see that, hear that, I'm probably going to run or I'm going to address it and then run.
That's so, good. That's good. Wow. So I know that honestly, we were going to intro this episode in another way, but now I'm just going to segue right into the questions because that's a really good that's a really good thought for us to have as we really dig deep into social media and our faith and how it actually impacts our faith and discernment. So I believe it was maybe last year, even prior to last year, I started seeing like these trends on social media with like these TikTok prophets, Instagram prophets that were just giving a prophetic word. And it's like, at one point, people's words were just starting to contradict each other.
Yeah.
And I was just getting really upset in my spirit. I'm like, wait, why is this one saying she's talking from God? And this one, it was just a lot of confusion.
A lot of spirit of confusion everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So seeing as that we do have like a rise of prophetic voices on social media, what would you say, what are your thoughts on this trend in general?
Well, I think it... a lot of what I'm going to say today boils down to one essential understanding is that everything must be rooted in scripture. The Bible is the first place you go. And everything is founded on Christ. My thoughts about these TikTok, Instagram preachers, prophets is that the Bible is clear that in the last days, there'll be many false prophets will arise, right? Yeah. Jesus talks about that heavily. First or second Thessalonians talks about too. Talks about the false prophet and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But the scripture alludes to that you'll see an uptick mm-hmm. in false prophets. So when we see it here, we should know that, again, the word of God never contradicts itself. God mm-hmm. is not an author of confusion. So if you're hearing, this is what I hear. The word of the Lord came to me last night in a dream mm-hmm. and I saw. That intro is the intro of many.
Yeah. Let's speak your mind.
And the garb wearing his gear, the shawls, the prayer shawls. Yes. There's an uprise in that.
There's an upsale with that. Actually,
the Amazon stores are going crazy Hebrews.
Yes.
God help us. Yeah. But the Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 2 that. In long ago, in various times, in various ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his son.
So, yeah, that's good.
So there's this, and I guess we'll get into it more, but there's this lack of understanding of scripture and what scripture says to even know that, first of all, that Hebrews verse is a scripture, to understand that God is speaking to us now through Jesus and not through prophets. Not that prophecy is dead or it's not alive or active, but now we... How can the Spirit of Christ live inside of you and you need a prophet to come tell you what God is speaking when the Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the mind of God. So God's mind is in your body and your temple. And you're asking, why prophesy to me? What is the Lord saying? And God is like, you must not read your Bible because I live inside of you. I'm going to knock on the door and I'll come dine with you, me and my father. Right. So if you've accepted the Lord, not that, yes, there's a maturation of your hearing.
Yes.
But if the Lord resides in you, there's no reason why you're looking for a prophetic voice. Oh, the Lord told me there's going to be famine tomorrow. That's great. As far as the person saying it, but number one, you don't know the person, what spirit they're operating under. Yeah. Is that what the Lord told you? If you hear something, it should be a confirmation of what the Lord already spoke to you, but not like, oh, this is the word of the Lord. Because again, God is now speaking through Jesus, his son, in these end times. That's what the scripture says. In the last days, he spoke to us to and through his son. So I think that's the foundation of all this prophetic thing.
Yeah. So the foundation is basically knowing the scripture and also knowing that the Son of God, his voice is the most important.
It should be the only voice.
So where would you say the gift of prophecy or the office of the prophet is needed in that context?
Well, the office of the prophet, I believe, is, again, number one, to more confirm confirm God's word in you and also to encourage and to lift up the body of Christ. The Bible says, I believe it's in Ezra, that Israel prospered through the prophesying of Zechariah and the other prophet evades me. But it's spoke about how Israel prospered through the words of the prophets. Right. So, again, that had a place in the scripture and there's a place for it. But now in its context, it's more about the encouragement of the body of Christ. Like God is showing me I see that you're supposed to be here. And I think everyone should learn to receive prophecy with a grain of salt, not to despise prophecy, but to take it with a grain of salt that, okay, thank you. I'll take that back to the Lord and see, first of all, is there a witness in my spirit about it, but I'll take it back to the Lord. So, it has a place, but more for encouragement, for confirmation, but not the word of the Lord came to me. I see angels around you. The Lord showed me your address. But
That address part.
Man, they love where we live.
So what? So I love how you talked about how prophecy is used for encouragement. I know that's rooted in the New Testament. How do you feel about prophecies that are more so doom and gloom, you're gonna pass away type of prophecies?
So here's my thing. It goes back to this, one of the root causes that we're talking about, right? People don't read the scripture, right? Christians, I'm speaking to Christians right now. The ones you sit next to on Sunday, I've come to learn that maybe 70 to 80%, maybe 90, don't read the scripture as they should. Because a lot of times we're still trying to teach people how to read the scripture, which is fine because teaching, let me teach you. But how long will we teach the elementary things of the scripture? I'm not talking about new converts. Let's walk through, but how long have you been in church?
Right.
Are we still here?
Right.
You know, So I think that with the not only the rise of this whole prophecy thing, I think that there is an element of, again, you need to know the word so that when prophecy, the whole doom and gloom thing comes, again, did the Lord tell you about doom and gloom? Hmm. Like if he did, it should be, again, a confirmation. Oh, you know what? The Lord gave me a dream. Then you can look, ask the Lord more about it, you know? Yeah. But if it's like, oh, this person said doom and gloom, even if, so what? Hmm. As a doom, let's say tomorrow bombs drop. Hmm. Now, what are you rooted in? Hmm. Are you rooted in Christ? Right? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you anyway? Mm-hmm. Because he should tell you, again, where you need to be, right? If you need to be in the East and something's happening in the West, that depends on you hearing the voice of the Lord. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what's going on, but people are so thirsty for prophetic words. Hmm. They're thirsty for shortcuts, right?
Wow.
People don't want to... Catherine Kuhlman, one of the legends of the faith, said, you need to pay the price. Hmm. You have to pay the price for what she operated in and what those legends of faith and this generation pain. And that's, man, I'm really getting ahead of myself.
It's okay.
That's why a lot of churches don't preach paying the price.
Hmm.
Because if you want to empty out a church, preach that.
Wow.
If you want low offering, preach that.
Hmm.
But if you're okay with mediocre Christians, teach whatever else. Teach how to get a spouse, dating, God's best for you in three steps. But if you want disciples, if you want true believers that don't care if there's Armageddon tomorrow, you ground them in the faith that Jesus Christ died. He came, he died, he was buried, he raised again on the third day. Mm-hmm. He's coming back again and you need to live holy.
Yeah.
That's the essence, I believe, of the gospel. But, and that should root. And that's why when I hear these doom and gloom, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, so be it. Yeah. Let's keep it moving. We got people to save. It's irrelevant, you know, so.
Wow, that's good. Oh my gosh. Lord, he is dropping bars.
Amen. Holy Spirit.
Nice. Okay. So, so the next question I have for you is, so I've seen people post prophetic messages that sound really convincing. Sometimes it's hard to tell if it's from God. Mm-hmm. Have you ever come across a message that made you question its authenticity? And how did you navigate that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, if you're on social media for any length of time, you're going to hear something that might sound good, or it might sound accurate, or it might be in line with maybe something you heard. Again, a lot of people, everything should stand to the light of the word, right? Don't prophesy or tell me something that the Bible already says is going to come. You know what I'm saying? Like, there will be false prophets.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lord showed me that this person's a false prophet. Every day you're trying to expose somebody.
Mm.
Who cares?
People who have their ministry based off of that. Exposure. That's also an issue.
That's actually gossip. If we want to be, honest, you're gossiping about.
True.
Let's move on because you're supposed to be saving people.
Yeah.
The Bible says, in regards to like, don't quarrel over, Paul's talking about don't quarrel over things that would lead people astray. Like that, you know, leave that stuff alone. Like the gospel. And I appreciate people like, you know, Pastor Phil, Andy Mitchell.
Yes. More balanced approach.
Balanced approach. But the gospel is make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father. Teaching them all I told you, right?
Yeah.
Go do that. If you teach people how to be disciples, you don't have to worry about exposing people because they'll see it. They're like, yeah.
That's so good.
That's why I value being a teacher over an exposer.
Yeah.
Or any other thing because you can, this is how you spot it. Like, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Not in my notes, I promise. This is an anointed place. And if you're watching this, I pray you're a guest. I used to work at Bank of America, right? Mm-hmm. Back in 2010. And for like the first half of that time, for I think it was like 5 years or so, I was a teller. And they never trained us to spot fake money. They always trained you to know real money, right? Mm-hmm. So all the time I'd be getting $100 bills because you're always touching it. How much you need, sir? Blah, 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 blah. Give it back, blah, blah, blah. Your money drawer, you're touching. And then they'll always come. And I was in Philly, so you know, they always come with the fake stuff. They would come and bring $100 bill and I'll grab, I'm not even look at it. It could look amazing, right? Look perfect. I touch it and I'll be like this. And that we have a market that we used to to see if it gets dark, then it's fake. If it's light, then it's real. And I'm like, oh, this is fake. And all I have to do, I didn't even look at it yet. I'm just grabbing, I could be counting a stack of it. I can feel, and I feel one. It's like, it's the same thing where when you encounter so much of the real, when you finally see a false prophet or someone who looks good, but is a wolf in sheep's clothing, you'll know it because you don't, you've been around so much of the real. You don't need someone to come tell you who's fake and who's not. So again, it boils down to, teach people who God is, teach them his word, and every other thing you're trying to make a ministry out of or make major that's a minor will fall away, will fade away. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was an amazing analogy, and I couldn't help but agree with that. So basically, when you know what's real, you would be able to spot what's fake.
Absolutely. A mile away, truly miles away.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
And maybe I'm going to end this up. But I remember when I think it was 2022, 2023 or so, 2023. Me and my, this was the rise of the era of Prophet Levy.
Oh.
Yeah. And one of his videos, just me and my wife were just sitting down in the house. And one of his videos came on my Facebook at the time. And I was just listening. She wasn't even like, I was just me listening to it. I'm like, oh, this sounds good. This sounds okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just no, I didn't know who he was. Like, he didn't have like good or bad notoriety at the time. He was just popping up everywhere. Right. So I'm listening, but my spirit wasn't gelling with, not that he didn't say anything wrong, anti-scriptural, as everything was good, but my spirit didn't bear witness with his spirit. Right. And I was just like, and then my wife watched it and we're both like, okay, okay. And we never could cling to what he was saying, even though at the time he was very eloquent and, you know, he would take scripture and, you know, it was just made sense. But I think how the Bible says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are sons of God. Yeah. So you know your father and someone else when you see it, right? Because it's your spirit. It's the same one. Witness. So when you, someone's operating a different spirit and you can't put your finger on it, that should be a pause for you. And it was a pause for me that, great words, but, and again, nothing, but is you have to be able to discern your, the witness of your spirit that, all right, I'll come back to you. You know, I'll put a tape on you, a post-it and I'll come back, you know? But yeah, that's just an example of, kind of like seeing and being able to discern, like, well, I'll figure you out later. So
yeah, that's good. So how do we distinguish between mere suspicion versus our spirits bearing witness with someone else's spirit? Because since you said that it's like more of a discerning feeling, how do we make sure that's rooted in scripture, especially if the person is literally saying all the right words?
Well, you kind of alluded to it. If you don't know scripture, you'll be deceived often. Now there is a blessing in being deceived. I'll say it like that, right? It's like in school, right? When you're learning, let's say some sort of advanced math, you have to get it wrong in order to know where you went wrong so that the next time you see it, you get it right. Does that make sense? So a lot of times we, again, there's people out there who want you to get it right the first time, right? And I don't believe personally that's God's will.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think the Bible talks about discernment is something that is trained, right? It's not the, in particular, a lot of people get confused the fact that one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning, but it's discerning of spirits, right? That's, there's discerning the will of God. There's discerning spirits.
Yeah.
So there's branches of discernment, right? I think that a lot of time, well, the case is that we don't have a discerning spirit to really know what is what and who is who. So, yeah, I hope I answered the question. I hope I didn't get too veer off too much.
No, I think you did. And I think that's very helpful for people to know and hopefully take with them.
Yeah.
So how do you personally filter out the noise?
Just don't listen. So here's the thing. There's the formula is you stop listening.
Yeah.
There's no like, Yeah, just filter. No. Yeah. Don't filter. Just turn it off.
Yeah.
Turn it off. And the problem is, a lot of new Christians, they're being born into a spiritual world of falsehoods, right? Mm-hmm. When I got saved, YouTube was still on the rise.
Yeah.
So in my generation, or that time, I'm acting like it's a long time ago, in my generation, and before that, you had to sit down when you got saved with your Bible by yourself.
Yeah, you did.
And read your Bible. So people are coming alive in Christ, in their spirit, man, and then falling into these churches. And then they have no way of knowing that, you know what? Let me just sit down by myself. Because again, what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit was supposed to come do? He's the counselor. He's going to guide you into all truth. He will teach you what the Father taught me. Like, that's his role. So you're giving your role over to men of God who don't know their left from their right.
Wow.
So I think that with that being the case, they come in and they listen to anything that comes out. They just gravitate because maybe they're going through something, or it's like, and this person's teaching. So for anyone who's brand new, or even if you're not brand new, take your Bible, go in that room in your apartment or your house, lock yourself in there for a couple months, read your word, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and then come out and tell me what you said. Other than that, I don't want to hear you, or you shouldn't take anything from other people.
That's good. So what role would you say being in a community or being in a church plays when it comes to discerning, well, shaping your faith and having discernment?
The reason I'm pausing that, because I don't know the answer. I think it's very twisted, like intertwined. I believe that, first of all, they have a big part to play,
yeah,
a decent amount to play. I believe that. Sorry.
That's okay.
I think that here's the thing. No matter who you are, the onus is on you before God when you stand before him. It's not going to be so much what church did you go to or what community were you in? Did you know me? Did you read my word? What did you do with reading my word? Right. That's going to be the first level of accountability. Now let's stoop down, come down to community and church, right?
Yeah.
I believe it has a big part to play in this whole shebang. But I'm not trying to rail against the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I just believe that this is the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ, right? Where it has a big part to play, but again, number one, you want to seek a community that is grounded in Christ and not grounded in being a social club. That's number one. Number two, then the church. Now I will admit it's hard to find a good Bible believing, and not just Bible believing, firebrand in ministry, right? I believe where you go, I mean, we knocking heads all day, you know what I'm saying? I think there is, it's hard to find those types of ministries. And what happens is, again, to the question, churches play a huge part. Because granted, your Christianity is not based on your church. It's not grounded or sustained, and it shouldn't be sustained by where you go to one day of a week.
Right.
You have six other days where you need to mature with. But I believe that everything that you hear in that church should be confirmation or should challenge you to grow deeper in your faith and higher in Christ. So it plays a big part, but you don't want to predicate it on it, because again, the first thing God's going to ask you is like, what did you do personally? Well, how's your personal walk with me, you know, or with my son? So,
And even like looking at that from the other perspective, like, let's say that you're watching a TikTok and you are watching an Instagram post of someone like giving a prophetic word. I think that it's important that we are in Bible believing churches and we're surrounded by Bible believing people. And we're not living in an island, because a lot of the times that I've seen people stray away from the faith and they start believing things on their own is when they weren't in good communities. Mm-hmm. It's when they would see these YouTube videos or when they would see these TikToks and they would begin to follow these ministries online. And next thing you know, they're forming their own doctrine out of the Bible and they don't have a pastor to run back to or a friend to run back to and bounce off the word. Like, this person said this, and what do you think about what they said? It's like they're living life by themselves. The Holy Spirit, they can't even really hear the Holy Spirit because the voice that they're hearing is not even rooted in scripture in the first place. So I think that community plays a huge role in these sort of situations. And I think that's one of the reasons a lack of community or a lack of being grounded in a church is one of the reasons why a lot of these believers that I've seen who were once really like grounded in the faith fire. Are now just somewhere else, just believing their own things. And it's sad.
Yeah, it's, and I'm grappling with that question, that disclosure piece from before, because what I can say, right, in relation to my sister, right, who passed away last year, what I can say is that it boiled down, not boiled down, but a big element of losing her was due to lack of community and correct scripture, which is why this topic agitates me even more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I had conversations with her about these things, this topic, right? Mm-hmm. And it was one where it went over her head, mm-hmm. right? Because again, even though she was older than me, like I'm the last, she was the first. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything for spiritual age. Right. Or spiritual maturity. Right. And when I was trying to disciple her on the word of God and how what she was bringing to me didn't align with the scripture. And I think I had a conversation with her one time, 2 hours long straight, just combating false doctrine and false context of scripture. Mm. And she didn't have I don't think she had a church at that time, but she was listening to a lot of stuff online from some of these online prophets and all this other stuff. And if you're not grounded, the devil will eat you alive. If you're not, and this is another thing that's not preached in church a lot of times, the devil. Like,
yeah.
Hell is not preached. Mm. The devil's not preached. Yeah, spiritual warfare is not preached.
Yeah.
So what life are we living? What it's are we in, American, like, la-la land?
It's a very American la-la land. Oh, everything is fine. Everything is normal. No, it's
just
not.
Just love
normal,
Jesus. Actually, yeah, love Jesus, know? But he said you have an adversary out there.
You need to be aware of what's going on.
What is, like, and I think that that's another, well, maybe we'll get to that later, but I think that's another problem, like, again, to the point, not grounded in any church, not grounded in any community. Mm. And then it boiled down to when you find an online preacher or someone, what's the law of first mention? I think it is where you hear something the first time is what?
That's what's established in your mind.
So granted, and that's the thing, same parents, same household, same gospel, but how it landed in our lives two different ways and how it ultimately matured in our lives or express itself in our lives, totally different things. So I think there's it's a big piece about, again, to your point where you go as a believer. And I would implore anyone, if you can't find a church that is hitting where it needs to hit, then you need to wait a little bit until God leads you there and find a good ministry online. But anyway, sorry.
That's good. Thank you, Woodley.
Yeah.
So God's voice, depending on where you are in your walk, and even sometimes you could be the most safe person in the world, but sometimes God's voice does sound like a mystery. Can you describe what it feels like when God is speaking to you? How do you know it's him?
Yeah. Well, to know God's voice, or how do I know it's him? I'll preface it by saying you can't know it's him if you're not consecrated to him. Mm. If you're not living a holy life, don't even worry about hearing God's voice. The only voice you'll hear is the impression of conviction, typically. Mm. That's what you'll typically feel. And then you can start. The voice of the Lord is precious. Let me, God is always speaking in the heavens, but sometimes it takes war to hear his words, like Daniel, right? To get a response is warfare, but that doesn't mean God speaking. But as far as hearing his voice, that is a special thing, to hear the voice of the Lord. So don't take it for granted. A lot of people wanted to hear the voice of the Lord and never heard it. So I think that's number one, the foundation of, okay, this is a precious thing. So it's not like a vending machine type of thing where you can just go get it and whatever the case may be. Now for me, I guess I'll give a story, a personal, if you want to call it encounter. So I hear, to answer your question first, I hear God by witness in my spirit, impression. And again, the Bible says in Job 33, I think 33:14, that God speaks once, he speaks twice, but men haven't perceived it, right? So God can speak to you in various ways, right? He doesn't, he's not a cookie cutter. I'm always going to speak to you like this. And that keeps you, if you want to say, on your toes. So you keep learning your father, right? Learning how he speaks, learning how he moves in your life. So there's, again, to answer your question, there's no one way he speaks. Like, you have to learn him for yourself and how he wants to speak to you as an individual. But how do you get there is typically uniform, right? When it comes to, and I'll give back to the example, me and my wife went on, after the whole James Kawalia thing took off, like I think it was end of 2023.
Yeah.
It was end of 2023. I was like, and sometimes God gives us the answer, like what we need to do. But back to Catherine Kuhlman, no one wants to pay the price to hear the voice of the Lord, to walk. No one can. I doubt we're going to see an Elisha or Elijah ever again, unless God just wants to move in the earth. Right. Wow. It won't be really based off of someone's consecration. Right. Hard. You'd be hard pressed to find it. But anyway, that I was like, this is the key to destroying the kingdom of dark. Like, that's me. Like, I feel in my mind, I'm an Avenger. Right. I'm like Captain America. So I'm going to, whatever I can do to destroy the kingdom of darkness, sign me up. Like, I'm a conscript. So when he said like repentance, worship, warfare, I think it was one of his monikers, whatever the case may be. But he went to the journey of what those ladies were doing to almost destroy him. I'm like, I said, babe, we're going on consecration fast. So it originally was going to be, I think, like 30 days. End up being like 55 days of being in prayer at a particular time at night, in the morning. Can't miss it. If we miss it by a second, we start again.
I think I remember your wife telling me this.
Man, I think I can, from a humanistic level, I can understand why people don't want to chase Christ. I think I understand why easy churches prosper, because it's whatever the good stuff about God is for milk believers, right? The easy stuff, right? When you first get saved, God does whatever you ask. Make a river flow out of my bedroom, whatever. It open heavens here. Yeah, it happens. But there's a point where he's like, okay, well, you know who I am. You know my character. Now it's time to go on a journey, right? And a lot of churches don't want to preach that because it's too difficult. The Bible says that only through, like I'm paraphrasing, but labors will you get into the kingdom, you know, and there's no labor in churches. It's just, again, the whole God's best. Let me land on the God's best before I get to the consecration thing. That has destroyed a generation of potential believers.
Wow.
Not that God can't redeem or call back. God is all powerful. But that mindset or that doctrine where God is only interested in your good. No, he let Job be tested. No, he let Abraham suffer.
Wow.
He let Joseph be in prison for how many years? Because of the greater calling. Our God's best for us is that we bring others to Christ and get to heaven. The whole teaching of God's best is a very earthly minded, short-sighted teaching where like get God's best here. Jesus said that, you know, you have abundance in this life and in the life to come at one point in the gospels, but that's not the rule. That's like an exception type of thing. Like, you know, you'll get it, but what is it? Peter was crucified upside down. I think James was beheaded or boiled alive. I think maybe it was Paul, allegedly, according to maybe history, he was hot. Only John lived to like die normal. So what gospel is our church is preaching? And then you wonder why you have the quality of believer. And like you can't teach about hell.
Jesus.
There's people in hell wishing they can hear about hell one more time on the earth. And you're here wasting time about buying a car, your business prospering. Those are good things.
Yeah.
Like, it's we need those things. It's not the essence of the thing. So anyway, so we did 55 days. So during the 55 days, I realized that, number one, God is mighty. And that there's no way to really hear God without being consecrated.
Can we talk about that part? So what would you say to people who are listening who may have just started in the faith and they're still trying to walk it out? Like, are you saying that they can't hear from God, or is the only way to hear from God is if you're consecrated?
No, God is not God is not stupid, right? Just like we deal with babies, like you don't know anything, you know? So there's a helping hand, given, a grace given to babies that aren't given to 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're a new believer, God's going to, again, prove himself. Mm-hmm. You might hear him audibly. My sophomore year of college, my girlfriend at the time, she came to school because I guess forced her, to come to the same school. She was smarter than me. So she was like, just come here. I'm freshly or newly saved. Mm-hmm. Even though I grew up in the church, you know, my dad's pastor, I don't know if that was on camera, off camera, but I come from a lineage of pastors and teachers. Even though I grew up in like that, finally for myself. So I'm learning God. I'm still learning him. I'm like, yeah, I love Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still texting my girlfriend, like, come upstairs real quick. Let me holler at you real quick. So one night she came to holler at me real quick. I came back from basketball practice. I was like, all right, let me, slide through. And I was on the bed with her getting ready. And I heard the voice of God for the first time. He said, if you keep doing this, you're going to die and go to hell.
Wow.
I told her, first of all, I looked at her and like, why would I say in the middle of,
is that you?
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting to. Sometimes you can discern the will of, or the voice of God, because it doesn't align with your will or your logic, right?
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. So, and then I looked at her, I said, I can't do this. She's like, what? I'm like, I can't do this. Let's stop. You got to go. And that's when the real journey, and that's how we started. We eventually broke up, and then God brought people like, I don't know, Alvin.
Yeah.
He came like, right. God was ordaining like, this got to stop here, and you got to meet people, community,
right,
all that stuff. But anyway, that's the first time I knew my father's voice. And then back to the consecration, I think.
It's good.
So doing this consecration, I go on a work trip to North Carolina in the heat of this consecration, fasting, you know, pray at certain times. It's very tasking. That thing is mentally, spiritually tasking. It's good. It's amazing. Like, you try it, even if it's for 15, 20 days or 21 days. The church loves 21 days something.
Yeah.
Do it for 21 days. Do something, but do it. But so I think we're like on day like 40 something. And I'm ready to stop, know, let's get this over with. But that was for a while. That's been the loudest I've heard the Lord. So I pulled up to my hotel, and I see, a woman, like the valet. She was a valet girl. So I see her, blah, blah, blah. It was late at night. I see her. You ask me a question. Do you need, what time do you need it? Blah, blah, blah. I said, blah, whatever. I'll call. So I go inside. Ordinary night, do my consecration prayer with my wife, certain time, wake up, do it again. And then that morning, the next morning, I'm brushing my teeth, getting ready for work. And all of a sudden I hear in my spirit, that girl's a witch. I said, huh? So I stopped brushing my teeth. This is how, like, direct, straightforward, and audible in my spirit. It was like it forced me to stop brushing my teeth. It's not like a passing thought. You just keep, oh, that's cool. It's like stopping your tracks. He said, she's a witch, and she deals in occultism and tarot cards. I heard all these different, I started getting like a download of her whatever practices. So I'm like, no. And when I respond back in my spirit, no, then I'm clearly not talking to myself.
Right.
So I'm like, no, I'm not. No, there's no way. So I walk downstairs to start going to my job site, and I don't see her down there. I'm like, whew, I don't have to, whatever. But then the Holy Spirit pushes me again. So eventually, and I think I was at work when he was pushing on me. I was at the site that day, and he said, So I eventually responded to him, if I see her when I come back, because she was there at like midnight mm-hmm. when I got in, around like 11. Mm-hmm. So I said, if I see her when I get back around like 3 or 4, mm-hmm. then I'll speak to her. Mm-hmm. Then I'll know it's you. Mm-hmm. So I get back from, I pull up to the hotel and guess who's there?
The girl.
Right where. So I said, so I actually sit in the car for a little bit because mm-hmm. now I'm wrestling with the Holy Spirit. Like, you got to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not talking to her. I said, okay. All right, let me get out the car. So I get out the car. I was like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm about to go through the moving turnstile. Right. And the Holy Spirit said, you better turn back and talk to her. So I stop and I step back. I said, can I ask you a question? And I was, it's like two people are living inside of me. One is me, my will, right? But it felt like, you know how people say when they're demon oppressed, they're not in the steering wheel? Like they're just, you know, they see what's going on, but they're not involved. Same thing with the Holy Spirit when he's really in you.
It's
so true. I'm watching myself, or I feel like I'm watching myself talk to this girl. I'm talking, but I'm like,
is this really me?
Why am I talking? Right, yeah, I'm like, why am I talking to you right now? Like, I want to go inside.
Right.
So I'm like, quick question. Are you into like do you do like tarot card readings and stuff?
That's very direct.
Yeah, no, I just straight up. She's like, I said, are you like into tarot card reading, like New Age type of practices? She was like, yeah. How do you know? I'm like, I said the Holy Spirit told me just now or earlier that this morning. I told her earlier this morning. He told me about a lot about your life. And I just keep rattling things off. And she's like, yeah, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a seer. I'm none of that. I'm a teacher. But the gifts of the Spirit are manifested however he needs it at the time. So I'm rounding this off and I said, do you want to pray? Like, after all, like, I'm just reading her life. I'm like, what's going on? I'm reading, and I text my wife. I'm just like, you can't believe what just happened downstairs. So I'm rounding this. I was like, do you want to pray? She's like, no, my mother-in-law or my mother prays for me a lot, so I'm good. So I knew the demons were starting to pop up. I'm like, all right, let me, I'll let you go. Yeah. But I don't want to impose myself. But the Holy Spirit taught me something as I was walking back up the stairs after that encounter. Ultimately, he wanted to show me not only what he's capable of, but he wanted to show me the reality of the life of a consecrated believer, that this is a common expression of him if we're dialed into him.
That's good.
So back to your question, how can you discern the voice of the Lord? How do you know? First of all, again, if you're not dialed into him, don't expect to hear. And that's why people run to prophets, because they don't want to take the time to pay the price to hear and know the will of God. And that's why we're in the state we're in.
That's so good. And it reminds me of that Bible verse where God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the more that we choose to draw near to God, the more he will reveal himself to us, because God is not a robot and God is not going to force his will upon us. It's the more that we desire to get to know him, the more we invite him in, the more he would come and the more louder and more familiar we would be with his voice. Yeah. So I love how, you share that example. And I also love how you talked about how sometimes when God is talking to us, we would know, because it's not something that we could ever think in our minds. Like, you didn't even have the desire to talk. No, you just came there for work and you were going to go to your hotel and go back home.
I want to go get some snacks from the lounge. And you,
God had another agenda for you. So it's like a tug of war. And I just love how you are honest about like that experience, because sometimes when God does talk to us, it's not always going to be something that we want to do. But
can I say one thing?
Yes, just of course.
That wasn't the only thing that happened during that period. So that was the first thing that happened. Second thing that happened, I think it was the last week of that fast. It basically happened to me again. I was at the gas station. I'm getting gas, and This guy comes up to me, and he's like, you know, asking for money. His wife was in the car. At first, I'm like, I'm not paying. I'm tired of these gas station scams. I'm running low, blah, blah, blah. And maybe it was a scam.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be. But at that point, I've kind of learned a little bit more of the voice of the Lord based off everything that was going on for that period. So in my spirit, I was like, yeah, let's get one for the Lord, you know? So I was like, let me just, you know. So I walk over to his wife because she, from what he's saying, she was sick and she needed money for medication. So I walked over to her, to the car, to the truck she was in. She was watching me and him speak. Mm-hmm. So I walked on, let me talk to your wife. And, you know, she's like, I've been sick. She looked genuinely like dilapidated, I think is the word. Mm-hmm. She didn't look good. So I said, okay, what's going on? She's like, yeah, I have some sort of disease that the doctors can't, whatever. And I think as I'm speaking to her and kind of know, like, I feel like God is preparing me for some sort of witchcraft battle or something like that in the future. And that's a whole nother story, but that's what I'm learning even post till today. Like I'm learning that's probably the direction my life is going towards. But anyway, so I'm speaking to her and she was like, yeah, I went to, and this, I might be paraphrasing a little bit of how she said it because it was a while ago, but in essence, she was saying that, this is what she was talking. She said, yeah, my life started going down. My life started going down after I met a lady that was a friend of my friend's. Immediately she said that, download came. That person was a witch who gave her something to steal her glory and her health in exchange. She didn't tell me anything yet, just a friend of a friend. I said, and I responded, did that lady give you something? She was like, yeah, she gave me, and she pulled out crystals from her, a knapsack, like a sack. I said, ah. So in my mind, I'm like, Holy Spirit, this is, again, I'm speaking to her and I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, this is so crazy. What is going on? Like my mind is moving. Like, I'm like talking to myself. Me and mom, like, yeah, you need to, I'm very calm. And again, the driver's seat thing is like, my mind is moving so fast, but my spirit is very calm, collected and focused on what's in front of me. So long story short, I said, we have to break the witchcraft over you. So I said, give me the thing. We pray right there. I was like, you need to give your life to Christ or everything I'm doing or saying doesn't matter. Right. You know, so lead them in deliverance prayer at the gas station. So, so I'm like, and then the one thing that is scriptural is that when you fast, you're supposed to give to the poor or give. They needed money. Me and my wife were like holding up, we were waiting to find the right occasion or what to give to during our fast. So I said, I'll be right back. So and that was after we prayed, you know, accepted Jesus, all that stuff. Ran back to the house, got the money we set aside for our offering for whatever. Came back and I see the guy. This is the power of God. So I see the guy. I'm coming back. I'm like, oh, he's trying to scam somebody because he's with some guy, whatever. So I get out the car. I'm already making an assumption, right? And my flesh kicks back in, you know, whatever. So it takes a minute. I'm like, yeah, get back. He was somewhere. He was just, he was subdued for a little bit. But so the guy's talking to some other guy at the, because we're at like the air pump area. So he comes back and he runs up to me. He's like, you won't believe it. As soon as you left, because he said he used to, he's doing like, he did, like fixed his cars, but he couldn't find work, whatever the case may be. And his life, their lives started going down when they received
the crystals.
So he said, as soon as we prayed, this guy pulled up and he said he needed help because his tire went flat. And I said, I fixed tires. So I said, God is helping you. He's trying to show you that, whatever was going on is broken. So I want you to take this. So all of a sudden work starts coming to him, blah, 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 blah. So again, when you're walking, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, there's no alternative besides spending time with him and paying. And now I understand what she meant and all these other generals meant by paying the price. Otherwise you'll just be waiting for your pastor to tell you something every Sunday. True. Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. So have you ever been in a situation where you thought you heard from God, and you took the directions, you went in the directions that you thought you, heard. However, you realized this wasn't God at all.
Yes, for sure. I'm trying to think of one more. I'm not trying to be braggadocious or anything like that, but not that I don't make mistakes, but I'm these days careful about that. So, I mean,
You've had those.
I've had those, and I'll probably have them again. I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm not like this infallible guy. I think,
you know, a prophecy, the Bible says that we hear in parts. So it's like,
I have one where, I guess you can say heard wrong, led wrong. So you're aware of a particular prophet and I'm going to name him by name. Prophet Prempeh. All right. Here we go. No, Yeah. I forgot all about that. The devil was trying to hide it from.
I feel like a lot of us were under that.
Oh, look. So again, God likes us sometimes failing. Mm. Peter failed, right? Mm. And Jesus said, "But I prayed for you that you'd be strengthened." Right? Yeah. The devil acts to sift you as wheat, right?
Yeah.
Peter needed to fail, yeah. right? So that the gospel will move forward, so that he'll be bold in Acts chapter 2 and 3, yes. leading thousands to Christ, right? Yeah. Even then, Peter still failed when he denied the Jews or denied the Gentiles when Paul walked in.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah,
he failed a lot. So failure is a part of God's refining process. So Prophet Prempeh, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, here's another thing. Mm. A lot of times, Christians who know the truth about, I guess, certain people who might be operating under the guise of Christianity, but it's really witchcraft, are afraid to speak out against witchcraft because you don't know your power in Christ.
Wow.
If they could have got to you, they would have got to you.
Wow.
I'm not going to go that way. Anyway, so he came up 2022. Not even going to get to the backstory. But anyway, he prophesies correctly.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's the spirit of divination, right? It's a familiar spirit. Let's just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. I know there's people who might ascribe to him.
Yeah.
But he's a false prophet.
Yeah.
Not false in sense he can't prophesy somewhat accurately, but he doesn't align with the word of God. So
that's what you would define as a false prophet. Not that their word specific is false, but more so their lifestyle.
Their lifestyle, the context of scripture.
Yeah.
Their desires don't align. I'll give you
their process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facebook messages.
Okay. And lack of holiness and repentance in their ministries. You'll never hear it.
It's so true.
You hear Jesus. The devil can preach Jesus. Like, he has no problem preaching Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the holiness, the righteousness, the uprightness.
So true.
That's what gets you to heaven, right? It's not,
they're going to get 50 cars next year.
No. Yeah. That's not it. But so during that era, it was about around my birthday, July 2022, to about, actually, it was pretty short lived. Was it short lived? When did it end? I think it was like, it was July 2022 to around January 2023. Mm-hmm. I think that's when you went to Maryland.
Yeah, it was around 2022.
Yeah. So during that period, I thought, I'm like, I'm listening to this guy. He knew my last name. He knew where I was from.
Very accurate.
I was just like, this is nuts. This must be God. Because this is my first encounter
with a prophet.
I know it contextually. I know it not only intellectually, but scripturally. Mm-hmm. But to encounter it, there's no way. I'm like, there's no way, you know, whatever. But those Ghanaian prophets, y'all.
They be prophesying.
I don't know what y'all be got out there in them forests. But man, that Wache is crazy up there. Let me start. But no. So he came saying all stuff. So I started following him, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I started following him, go to his conventions, wherever he went for a season. Mm-hmm. And then what I really regret is the money that was given.
Yeah.
I'm not, for the sake of genuine humility and genuine, like, just embarrassment, like, the amount of money we gave to him. And I'm more upset, not because I gave money, but that I tied my money to someone who's not tied to Christ. So, but there's repentance, there's breaking, there's power, whatever. We broke that. But anyway, so I genuinely believed at that time, like, this man is hearing from God, blah, blah, blah. And that's also what led my sister, unfortunately, to where, you know, thank God she's with the Lord. But but anyway, so that was the beginning of a needed failure, a required failure, if you put it. Because here's the other thing. Let's put it all together. I talked about churches preparing the body of Christ in an accurate way. One of the things I feel, this is hearing what's impressed upon me. I talk about how the Lord speaks to me is by impression.
Yeah.
One thing I feel by impression is that we're entering to a season of heavy witchcraft and deliverance from witchcraft and false prophecy and demonic powers and principalities in people's lives just being out in the open. Hence why I met a witch. Hence why I had the encounter with crystals and all these witch, and then James Kowalia, and then the false prophet. I'm like, why is my life touching all these particular areas in particular? Not like money or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It's these particular areas God is allowing me to fail, whatever, calling me to. So one thing that is a greater issue is that a lot of churches aren't showing and teaching the body of Christ or preparing them for spiritual warfare.
Wow.
They're not. Okay. Again, I feel like this is going to be an attack on the church. It's not an attack on the church.
It's honestly, I think it's healthy for us to know where we're going wrong and how we can get right. And so it's not an attack.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's a loving rebuke. Sure. Come on, Holy Spirit. It's a loving rebuke where we're walking into a season, or we're already in a season, where there is heavy witchcraft, heavy manifestations, but we're not teaching our people warfare. We're teaching them. Yeah. You're teaching them. What have I heard? What are some of the things you heard? God doesn't want you to be friends with that person. Friendship, Christianity.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
You don't need them in that season. Haters, if God,
hater ministry.
Hater.
Sometimes people blow me all alive.
I want to hold this hater ministry.
Yeah.
Is that what the gospel is?
Yeah.
You know how many people Paul walked with that hated him?
Yeah.
And he wrote about him real quick and he moved on.
He moved on.
We got to work.
Right.
And people, and that's, churches are filling up.
Yeah.
I knew she didn't like me. I knew about. Is that
that's not the gospel.
So the devil is looking at this like, this is great.
It's a distraction.
I wish there's a bigger word for distraction. This is one of the biggest ploys of our generation.
Wow.
Self-gospel. Like, it's all about you. Like, your haters, someone's fighting against you.
Mm.
If you walk with the Lord, it doesn't matter. Yeah. If someone's first of all, God would fight them personally if they don't repent.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And you have another assignment to do. It's part of the game of humanity.
It is.
You need people who are against you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a breeze in this life. Mm-hmm. And that's what churches are teaching. This life is a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
As long if you have Jesus, if you have the name of Jesus, calling him and everything, or they might give a little bit, life might be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you need a church that's going to punch you in the face on a pretty average basis.
Yeah.
Is go to church that makes you question your Christianity.
Yeah.
That's the easy way to put it, right? Because again, otherwise we walk into these issues of, again, me, my first time encountering a prophet, and it's like, I wasn't equipped. Let's just call it what it was. If I think about it, I wasn't equipped. For all my, I had all my spiritual guns, I got everything, and I had a blind spot. And there's no church I can say, even in the Nigerian sphere, because I used to go to Redeem, that prepared me for that. But God is preparing a people, including myself, who have gone through the battle of that to be able to teach people, because he knows that most churches will not teach us, and he's not going to waste time trying to convince pastors who are set in their ways to teach about something, who are more interested in their Instagram account following.
Yeah.
Or are they trendy? Are they getting the most clicks on their social media? I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here infuriated. I genuinely hate that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people understand what it means that you're going to stand before the Lord and very soon. That's what I wake up. I think Jesus is coming soon. I go to sleep. Jesus is coming soon. That's consumes my thoughts. If I'm being very honest, nothing else matters. I have cars. I have a nice house. When I saw my sister's driver's license in her room when she was gone, her money from her car sitting on the table, you can't take any of that stuff with you. None of that goes. The only thing that goes is Jesus with you. If you don't have him, you're a lost cause. So all this stuff infuriates me now on a more personal level. It infuriated me before, but now more so, that we have teachers and pastors and churches who refuse to give people the gospel because they don't want to offend people. The gospel is not a nice thing. It's a sword. Yeah. It's going to pierce you. It's going to cut you. It's going to make you bleed, but it's for your benefit. But anyway,
that's good. That's good. So wrapping up on the previous question, how were you able to discern that this was not God? And what was the biggest lesson that you learned from that?
Well, I realized that wasn't God. I think we even had a conversation in my house when, I think after the last one you went to in Maryland, I forget what it was. But even before that, when it came to the Premper guy, what I learned is, what helped me to figure it out is, again, even though I was deceived, I'm still rooted in the word. So I'll still be like the Bereans and take back what you say and go examine it. So I'm like, this guy is not preaching holiness. The Holy Spirit brought me back to the foundation of like, wait, he doesn't have no altar call. My wife saw this. I'm like,
so true.
I ain't no altar call. Man, you do talk a lot about money. I don't care what some people have an issue with what pastors wear. I don't really care about it unless it's like it's revealing or something like that. But if you're wearing a particular brand, if you it came from your money, not the church's money or your salary, that's your business. But when I'm like, wait, you're not teaching, because this is my first red flag with Prempe. He was on I think it was like YouTube. He was live on YouTube. At a church, I think it's in Europe or something like that. And someone came up to the front and he started, my wife had a different, what it did for her. But for me, what was the first thing he was, he brought someone up, they had an issue and he started talking about, he's like, okay, he started traveling in the spirit to their room. So he's like, I'm in your room. Do you have this in your room? Do you have that in your room? He's like, yeah, yes, Papa, I have that in my room, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you need to clean up your room. Your room is too dirty. He's like, yes, Paul, I'll clean it up. You know, he's like, your room is a mess. He's like, and he's like, I see that you're with a woman that wasn't his wife sleeping. He's like, but he didn't address that he was fornicating. But he said, God is going to, whatever he was asking for, I forget what it was. But he was addressing what he wanted, but he wasn't addressing the fact that he was fornicating and he saw that. So I said, well, no. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not. God will never pass by.
Absolutely.
Righteousness.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about how your room looks or blessing? The guy's fornicating and you're making it seem as though God's going to answer his prayer while he's fornicating.
Right.
So that's when I said, okay.
That's so good. Can I add something to that? And I love the way that was the way God revealed it to you. Because I really do feel like God talks to us based off of our relationship with him and how he will know we will understand.
Yes.
So the reason why I...
We are daft.
Kind of... really daft. The reason why I knew that Prophet Prempeh's ministry was off was that one time, I think it was the last event that I went to, and he was asking for offering. And the way that he asked for it was very off-putting. And it's like, he was basically saying, even if you came here with $1, God deserves your dollar. I'm like, so what if like really they just don't have money to give right now? So it's like, when he said that to me, I kind of saw it as, I'm not sure if I'm sure about this man's character. So I love that when it came to you, God showed you that he gave a word. And in his word, he was more focused on the prosperity of this person materially versus their spiritual prosperity
condition.
Because how dare you see someone in a vision or in a whatever you're doing,
wherever you're traveling,
you see this man fornicating and you don't even talk about the fornication, but you're talking about, oh, God wants to... No, he does not. He wants you to repent first.
Yeah, you better get on your knees, repent.
Yeah, because God cares about the repentance.
Oh my gosh, does he? Does he?
Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I think I'm griping with the church a lot. I don't know how this is going to come out, but
No, it's good. I think that.
I think this, I mean, again, no, it's important. I think it's important. That's why God is putting my spirit to harp on. We're in a time of deception. And not only we're in a time of deception, but I think people have gotten accustomed or desensitized to that Jesus coming like tomorrow. Right. People have been hearing, just like Peter says, like, where is this coming that you guys have been talking about ever since the Father slept? Things have been going on the earth the same way. But what I impress and witness in my spirit, Jesus is like, this is the end. For if you're not getting it, you'll get it through tribulation. And that is what rings in my spirit night and day. My wife, sis. Night and day, day and night, noontime and work, I just see visions of Jesus. Last week I started crying in my car because I was thinking about my sister, but not only that, but what brought me to that thought was I was driving and pretty clear day, clouds, and in a cloud, I thought I saw like castle structures. I was like, is that the king? Like, these are the pervasive thoughts. Like, is that the, like, what if it's right there? And then the Holy Spirit, it's that close. So my mind is just there's no other worthy talking point that any church should be talking about besides repent, believe the gospel, Jesus coming soon, live righteous, live holy, because that's the ultimate. Jesus died not so that we'll have a great life on earth. He died so that even if you die here on the earth, you will live forever with him. And then he'll come back and give you your body again. And then you continue to live as you were. But we have lost the Church of America, the Church of the DMV has lost or maybe never found that or never had that intent that this is the purpose of the ministry. There's no gimmicks. There's no frills. If you don't like it, don't come.
Yeah.
We don't have very few.
Yeah.
We don't like it, don't come. So.
That's good. That's good. My last question was, what advice would you give to anyone listening to this podcast when it comes to reading, well, actually knowing the voice of God? Like, what's your, what would your last words be?
I think it'll be a little bit different depending on where you are with your walk. I'll say first to the new converts, like I said earlier, number one, don't listen to any online preacher. Yeah. Even if they're, even if it's Philip Anthony Mitchell, he's even for a different particular subset.
Yeah,
You got to understand. But for, this is what I will say. I always recommend if you are a new believer, your word, your Bible, Holy Spirit, and maybe preachers like a Derek Prince.
Who, I don't even know who that is.
A general. That's what I call him. Catherine Kuhlman is next level too. But Derek Prince is, I'll say, if you have, if you must watch something, if you're like, I need visual, I need to hear it while I'm walking, fine. Derek Prince is where I'll start. General of the faith, simplicity of the gospel, but the truth of the gospel. Then the Holy Spirit will lead you on the rest. To the more mature believer, consecration, holiness, righteousness, a desire for Christ, and giving up your idols, right? We all have idols, including myself, that I have to trash every day. It's like in the scriptures where every day Dagon was raised up in the when the Ark of the Covenant was with him, and they'll find him every day either bowed or broken. But it shows that the devil's intent on raising idols every day, even in the face of Christ in your life. So every day I have to go into that area where the Ark of the presence of Christ lives within me and look at the Dagon and knock him down every day. And that's should be the life of the believer. If you're seasoned or more mature, every day should be one of keeping in perspective. Eternity is almost here. Keeping in perspective that it's not about you. It's not about you. The gospel's not about you. I'm sorry they lied to you about. And that's how you're a Christian today. Maybe it's foundations that God wants my best. He does. But not in the capacity to which you think. Reorienting yourself in that area. And again, making sure that your life, that your daily life is predicated, built upon, focused on knowing Christ and just loving him for him. Not what you can get. Not what he does for you. Not the car. Not the job. Love Jesus for Jesus. If you don't have a love for him, ask him, give me a love for you.
Yeah, be honest.
Be honest. But you, but do it because the time is short. I sound like a prophet of doom. Maybe. But anyway, not doom, but it's it's a great, should be a wonderful thing. But we make it, they've made the return of Jesus or the end times feel as though it's not a win for the body of Christ.
Oh, wow.
They made it, they've made it seem as though it's like, oh, if I don't get married by the time Jesus comes, oh man. So your love, your idol is marriage. Your idol is this earth. And you can't, that cannot go and neither can you where Jesus is. So you might want to put that down, right? So those are the things that you need to be able to, for the mature believer, I'll say, focus on the word, Christ, putting down the idols, righteousness, holiness.
Wow, that's good. Nothing more to say. That was amazing.
Praise God.
Yeah, Lord Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Coming on the Orange Tapes and sharing with us your thoughts on social media influencers, prophets, and how it shapes our faith and discernment.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure that everyone listening has left with some heat.
I hope so.
Heat on their bum. This was a very tough episode, but honestly, this is something that we all need to constantly remember as we continue to walk with Jesus. And honestly, Lord, you dropped a lot of gems. And I pray that we all just meditate on this and obviously go back to our word to continue to discern and learn what God is saying in these times.
Amen.
Yeah. So Lord Lee, please tell them where to follow you. Cause at this point they're like, I need to keep up with this guy's ministry.
My ministry. Oh yeah. Right? No. If you want polish me, my Instagram is Lordly.
Yeah, he be in the gym on his stories. Yeah, if you want the workout, Lordly.
If you need something curated, mm-hmm. and I'm barely on their Instagram. If you want the raw, unadulterated, authentic, truth of the gospel, truth of the times, follow me on TikTok.
TikTok.
My people are there. If you're a real one, you'll hop on there. Lordly on TikTok as well.
Yeah, well, and as you know, the Orange Tapes is the Orange Tapes Pod. On Facebook and Instagram, Facebook and TikTok. And on Instagram, it is the Orange Tapes. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. And I will talk to you in the next one. Bye.
Peace.